Shortly before moving to Rockford, I had the opportunity to baptize a young woman who was from a Muslim family. She had come to Christ through the witness of friends and then was connected into our church, and she grew in her faith, and being baptized was an important next step for her, but one that she could not take lightly. Her father was a strict person of strict Muslim faith and was not pleased at all that she had started attending a Christian church. And when he found out that she was thinking about being baptized, he told her that if she went through with that, that she would be cut off from her family. And he even threatened to harm her. During the baptism service, she read her testimony to those who were gathered there, and she talked about how she had found new life in Jesus, how she had found a new home in her church family, and how she wanted to express her faith publicly by being baptized and standing in front of her brothers and sisters in that moment. It was an amazing act of faith and courage, and she reminded me, she reminded all those who were there to witness her baptism, that following Jesus means submitting ourselves to God's will, and it often requires sacrifice. It often requires laying down what is important to us so that we can take up what is far more valuable. I imagine for most of us, your baptism was a joyful occasion. I think that's how it is for most baptisms. You're surrounded by family and friends and people who care for you, and it's a joyful moment. And whatever the circumstances or the timing or the mode of baptism that you experienced, entering into the waters of grace still requires humility. It means that you humble yourself before God. You come to seek God's blessing and forgiveness. You come into the waters of baptism seeking after God's redemption and the forgiveness and love that's offered through Jesus Christ. According to Matthew's Gospel, in the passage that we're about to read, the very first thing that Jesus did as he entered into his public ministry, sort of the way Jesus introduced himself in public, was by being baptized. By Jesus being baptized. Listen to this story in Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Like John the Baptist, we might be a little confused by this story. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? That was John's concern as Jesus came forward, and John knew to some degree who Jesus was. Of course, they were relatives. They were cousins or second cousins. They knew each other, maybe even growing up, and John knew that his mission in life was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, and the Spirit had revealed to John that Jesus was in fact that Messiah. And so as Jesus came forward, John knew who he was and understood Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Not the sort of baptism that John was offering. And so John was confused, and we may also ask the question, why would Jesus come forward to be baptized? He never sinned. He didn't need to be washed clean. That was sort of the purpose of John's baptism, to symbolize this repentance of sins and the washing clean that would be offered by God, ultimately fulfilled through Jesus Himself on the cross. Now we'll talk as we go along this morning a little more about why Jesus came forward for baptism. But for now, I think it is amazing for us to consider that we have experienced in our own baptism something that Jesus Himself also experienced Himself. Now I know some of you here were baptized as infants. That was actually the experience in my life. I was a young child, a few months old. My parents brought me to be baptized, and they were actually in the army at the time, and so it was a military chapel service, and there I was baptized. And that might be your experience, that you've only been told the stories or have a written record of what it was like when your parents brought you forward to be blessed and prayed over and for the water to be poured over your head and baptism. Others, though, I imagine in this room can remember your own baptism because you were older, maybe a young adult or a young person, or maybe even later in your life as an adult, but you came to faith, and in order to express your faith, in order to declare publicly that you had come to faith in Christ, you came forward to be baptized in front of the church and received this important sacrament of the church. But just like you and me, whenever it was in your life, Jesus stood there in front of a crowd of people with water dripping down from His head, and He humbly submitted Himself to that ritual of blessing and of washing. You see, Jesus walked among us. He lived life like we do. He lived in human flesh, all the ups and downs of life. He experienced good things and difficulties and friendships and betrayals, and Jesus lived like we live in this life. And in this moment, He stood on the banks of the Jordan River, and He allowed John to pour water over Him. He allowed the Spirit to anoint Him. He allowed God the Father to speak a word of blessing over His Son. And so we ask, why was Jesus baptized? Well, He did it like everything else He did as He walked this earth. He did it for you and me. He did it so that He could lead the way for us also into the waters of baptism. Jesus was baptized to show us what humble submission looks like, what obedience to God the Father looks like. To me, this story teaches us about humility. It teaches us what it means to submit ourselves before God, to accept God's blessing, to accept what God wants for us and from us, even in those moments when we don't fully understand it. And for any of us who've been baptized, all of us who've been baptized, you may have experienced that and may even be able to remember it as a whatever age you were, to remember that experience in your life. But to fully understand what God was doing in your life, in your heart, in that moment, maybe beyond what we can fathom, and yet we accept what God did. We accept that call to come into the waters of baptism, there receive the blessing, receive the grace of God. We humble ourselves before Him in service and devotion and worship and fellowship and all the ways that we bring ourselves before God. And in this passage, we're called to think about how baptism stands for something even greater in our lives. Baptism is sort of a rite of passage or a rite of initiation into the church family, and that's an important part about what we mean in baptism. But it also points us to the life of faith. It points us ahead to this life that we share together in the church, that we're willing to stand before the church, whether it's in baptism or in service or worship or testimony or ministry, but also standing in front of the world and standing even in front of unbelievers and humbly accepting what God desires for us and from us. So let's start with this idea that in humility we do what God asks. We do what God asks us to do. The truth is, sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't understand. Sometimes God invites us to walk down a road that is difficult and that we would, if it were up to us, prefer not to go down. You read through the Bible and there are lots of examples of things that God asks us to do that are hard to do. Jesus taught, turn the other cheek. Love those who hate you. That's a hard thing to do. If you think about the literal image of what Jesus asks us to do, and I think Jesus was being very literal when he said, turn the other cheek. Imagine if someone has hurt you, and instead of hurting them back, instead of speaking angry words back in their face, instead you turn the other cheek. Not to be hurt again, but in other words, to say, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to love those who have hurt me. It's a hard thing to do. Paul wrote, speak the truth in love. Not an easy thing to do. Or think about the things that God has asked you to do specifically in your own life. And it might be different for all of us. It might be that God has asked you to stay in a marriage that seems to be broken. It might be that God has asked you to walk away from a job that you enjoy because he's opening up a new door for you and you don't fully understand why you would need to do that. Maybe God has asked you to put your own plans and dreams and ideas on hold so that you can care for an aging parent or another family member or a child, someone in need. You see, God often asks us to do hard things, and in faith, in humility, our response is to obey, is to do those hard things that we may not understand. Both John and Jesus, in the story of Jesus' baptism, are examples of this humility that leads to obedience. For John, it was simply saying to Jesus, our roles seem reversed here, Jesus. You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. But then after Jesus explained, John, even though he didn't fully understand, he consented. He willingly went along with what Jesus was asking him to do. For Jesus also, this was an act of humble obedience. To walk into the waters of baptism, not needing that ritual. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. We can ask and answer the question, why did he submit to this? But he didn't need to be baptized, not the baptism that John was offering. Jesus had never sinned, but he did this in obedience. Obedience to God's will. You see, we don't always understand what God asks us to do. We don't always understand why he asks us to go down particularly those hard roads of life that may not make sense to us, and maybe we wish that God didn't send us that way. But in obedience, in humility, we say, God, I'm going to submit myself and do your will. Jesus' baptism also points us, I think, to our place in the church, to our calling to enter into the family of faith. And again, this gets back into the idea of baptism. In humility, we join ourselves together in the body of Christ. We join together as a church family. We join together with other believers in the church body. Baptism symbolizes several things for us. One of those, and this is how John taught it. Of course, John baptized before Jesus went to the cross, and so his baptism was not fully like ours, but it symbolizes the washing away of sins. That we repent of our sins, and the water of baptism is that cleansing water that symbolizes the forgiveness that only God can give through Jesus. Baptism also symbolizes death and resurrection. We enter under the water just like Jesus died, and then we emerge from the water like Jesus rose again to new life, and into the water and out of the water symbolizes that death and resurrection and how we participate with Jesus in that moment. Baptism also stands for our entrance into the life of faith. In another way, though, baptism also calls us to join together with other believers. And maybe we don't talk about this enough in the church, but we are joined together, not just because we choose to come to this church. We're joined together not just with the people here in this room, in fact. We are joined with every follower of Jesus. And the waters of baptism, even though for some of you it was in another church or another state or maybe even another country, but that water is all the same water through baptism. It is the water that symbolizes the grace of God poured over your life. We share a faith together. We share the grace of Jesus Christ that cleanses us together. And of course, we share one Lord and Savior together. And those things bind us as a body of believers, as the body of Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, I think this is why Jesus was baptized, so that he could lead the way for us into that water, so that he could join with us and invite us into that sacramental devotion of baptism. Later, of course, Jesus commanded the church to baptize. The very end of Matthew, the Great Commission includes that call of Jesus to go and make disciples, but then also to baptize them. And it's a command that Jesus gave to the church to baptize those who come to faith or baptize those who are born into the family of faith, to call them into the waters. In a similar way, the communion meal symbolizes this joining together as a church family. We don't eat the meal alone, just like you can't baptize yourself. It's something that needs to be done within the family of faith. The communion meal, you don't eat alone. We eat it as a church family. We join together with one another in this meal. And again, it's not just in this church that we share the meal, but we share the meal with all believers all around the world and all throughout history, sharing in this one meal that reminds us that we have one Lord and Savior. And so we are joined together. Baptism and communion, these two sacraments of the Christian church, these two ways that call us to remember Jesus' death and resurrection, to enter again into the grace that he offers us, these two sacraments that invite us to bind ourselves together as a family of believers, as followers of Jesus, joined together. And this joining together as a church family really does matter for us. Because you see, here we find fellowship and we find love, we find support here in the church family. We can encourage one another. We can hold each other accountable. We can pray for each other. We can help each other. We worship together. We share communion together. We share ministry together. And the truth is that I see far too often people distancing themselves from the church family. People who choose for whatever reason or whatever time in their lives to not participate, to not join in. And the truth is that the whole church suffers when even one person walks away. And certainly that one person suffers as well. We need to remember that the waters of baptism bind us together. They call us to share life together as the body of Christ. The body of Christ that is to be unified, which was Jesus' prayer for the church, that we would be one. Sharing life, growing in faith together. It's not always easy. None of us are perfect. We sometimes face challenges and difficulties in the church. It takes patience and love. It takes sacrifice to join ourselves together. It also requires this thing called humility that we're thinking about this morning. You don't always get your way in the church. And it's supposed to be that way, by the way. When you don't get your way in the church, you don't grumble about it. You say, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to be, because I'm supposed to sacrifice. I'm supposed to give of myself for the sake of others, just as Jesus gave of Himself for me. We need to help each other just as they help me. We need to pray for one another just as they pray for you. We need to open up our hearts and let others in just as you are willing to step into someone else's life and be there for them when they are in need. And these things might feel uncomfortable at times. But the good news is that when we join together as a church family, we find a great blessing. We find people who will love you and who will accept you, and people who are willing to walk with you through those difficult moments, and people who are willing to serve you and love you and pray for you and forgive you and help you to grow in your faith. And we find here in the church family a great blessing. And one of the things that baptism invites us into is to join ourselves together as a body of believers. There's another lesson that we need to learn from this story. And this one might be a little surprising to us, but it's right there in black and white in the story. And so let me share this as well. That in humility, we accept God's blessing. We accept God's blessing. You see, the story of Jesus' baptism gives us this amazing picture that I think we only find here as well as in the story of the Transfiguration. These two stories where we see in one moment the Trinity displayed right before our eyes. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God, it says, ascended on Him in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus the Son, and then God the Father speaking this blessing over His Son. Jesus hearing the Father say these words, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And it's this amazing image in that moment of the Trinity, but also this amazing blessing that God the Father speaks over His Son. Do you know that God wants to bless you? That God wants to bless you. He wants to love you. He wants to show you kindness. God wants to build you up. He wants to give you good things. He wants your life to be joyful and good. I think many of us feel that we don't deserve God's blessing. You might think, well, I'll just ask God for what I need. And I think too often our prayers end right there. Just enough, God. Just get me through the day. Just give me a little bit, but nothing more. You see, a blessing goes beyond what you need. A blessing shows love. To bless someone is to love someone. Good parents, of course, don't just give their children bread and water just enough to get through their day. Good parents don't just provide their children shelter or warmth just enough to get by. Good parents don't give just the bare minimum. Good parents show their children love. They give them what they want. They give what will make them happy. Good parents give their children food that tastes good. They give them clothes that they want to wear. They give them a home that they can be comfortable in. Good parents love their children. And they bless them with good things. And so, in the same way, God desires to bless your life. You see, God the Father didn't have to speak anything from heaven that day. But He looked down on His Son who was coming up out of the waters with the waters of baptism still dripping from Him. And God the Father said, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." God wants to speak these words of blessing. He wants to bring these blessings into our lives. And so the question that I think we need to ask is, am I humble enough? Am I humble enough to accept God's blessing? Am I willing to be loved beyond what I deserve? We don't deserve God's blessing. Jesus did. We don't. But God still wants to bless us. He wants to love us. And I hope that we are willing, because God wants to bring good things into our lives. You see, God blesses us for His own good purposes. He blesses us so that He can reveal in our lives His power and His goodness. God blesses us so that He can prepare us for service and mission. That was why God spoke these words over Jesus in that moment. As Jesus was just beginning His public ministry and He's baptized to show the blessing that God has on His life, and now God speaks this word of blessing as if to say, "Jesus, now I send you out to do good work." And in the same way, God blesses us so that then we can go out and serve His purposes. God also blesses you so that others will see His work in your life and be drawn toward the source of blessing in your life, so that people will be drawn to God as they see God at work in you. And so in humility, we accept what God gives. We also do what He asks. And we also join together with His people here in the church in fellowship and worship. Now, in just a moment, we're going to share the communion meal together, and we'll come to the table as we always do in humility, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that Jesus is our Savior, and knowing that He loves us so much that He went to the cross for us. So as we prepare our hearts for the meal, as we accept the blessings that God wants to bring us, let's bow our heads and go before Him in prayer. Lord, we give You thanks today for Your goodness and Your love that goes beyond what we deserve, goes beyond what we could ask for. Lord, we thank You that You love us enough to bless us. You love us enough to give us a church family that we can be surrounded by brothers and sisters who encourage us and love us and pray for us. Father, help us in humility to serve You, to love You, to love one another. And help us, Lord, to accept those things that You bring into our lives, those good things that You give us because You love us. Lord, I thank You for that great love that You show and that You shower over us. And I pray that You would walk with us in all that we do in the coming days. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.